This is a replay of the Tuesday night, July 8th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. But you know that, don't you? I hope you'll rectify it soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine, particularly if it has absolutely no import whatsoever. And I got a few starter topics as usual. But, you know, when the show ends, there's always people hanging on, waiting to get on, and the show's over. First hour or so, yeah, desert wasteland. So, consequently, if you've been meaning to call, call early. All right, so 888-876-5593. There is an old vaudeville joke about a widow. She was married 4 times. The first 3 husbands died from eating poison mushrooms. What happened to the 4th one? She knifed him. He wouldn't eat the mushrooms. All right, old joke, but at this moment in time, it's playing out in Australia, where a jury is deliberating a case in Wellington. They're sequestered, and it's the triple murder trial. Erin Patterson is accused of killing her estranged husband's relatives by deliberately serving them poison mushrooms for lunch. Now, 3 of the 4 guests died. Her parents-in-law, Don and Gail Patterson, and Gail's sister, Heather. They died in the hospital after the meal at her home, which she served individual beef Wellington pastries containing death cap mushrooms. She's accused of attempting to murder the 4th, Heather's husband, Ian. He was gravely ill, but he survived. So this has been a 9-week trial, Supreme Court trial in New Zealand. And she gave evidence in her own defense. Yeah, she's a mother of 2. She faces life in prison if convicted. And the what is not in dispute is that Patterson did indeed serve her guests toxic mushrooms. It was also not in dispute that the mushrooms killed them. Now, of course, what the jury must decide is whether it was inadvertent. Did she mean for it? This incident happened 2 years ago, and I'll tell you what, it's been making the news in Australia since then. And what the prosecutor's saying is the accused researched, forged, and served the mushrooms deliberately and lied to investigators to cover her tracks. Now, I must admit, I tend to watch a lot of trials or pay attention to them. This one, I did not pay close enough attention to know whether, in fact, she disposed of a food dehydrator after the fatal meal and reset her phone multiple times. So that was the deal. Now, what the prosecution is saying, the ruse for having the relatives over, and what's interesting, it's the estranged husband. So why she wants to murder the in-laws, they're soon not going to be in-laws. I don't know. But to get them over to her house, she lied about having a dire medical diagnosis to ensure they'd attend the lunch. And then she cooked the individual pastries to avoid poisoning herself and faked symptoms to make it look like she fell ill, too. Now, her lawyers say this was a terrible accident. It was a pantry mix-up of store-bought and wild mushrooms, which she didn't know were death caps. The defense was that she wasn't as ill as the others because she induced vomiting after the meal due to an eating disorder. Yeah, and of course, the prosecution is saying the accused lied to the police that she never foraged for mushrooms or owned a dehydrator. Out of panic, her lawyer said. She denied telling her lunch guests she had a confirmed diagnosis of cancer. So, prosecutors, and here is the rub for the jury, prosecutors have no motive whatsoever. The prosecutors spent 4 days summarizing the case before the deliberations began, urging them not to be swayed by bias or prejudice or sympathy, but they couldn't in any way state what her motivation would be. So that's the deal. And of course, her lawyers are saying, you know, some of it might go to her credibility, but none of it goes to her being guilty of murder. And so that is the deal. And so we'll see. And they've been sequestered now, I guess, about a day or so, and we'll see where this goes. All right. So 888. Actually, I'm looking at this. They've been sequestered a week. I better look. See what happened there. Maybe there's been a verdict. Well, that'd be interesting. All right. So it happening in Wellington, New Zealand, but the jury is in Australia and sequestered there. All right. So 888-876-5593. We will get to the snakes on the plane. That was inadvertent and somehow and a few other stories as well. But Jim in Richmond, I said call early and he did. So Jim, what's up?
I was going to call in last night, but your show, you know, was a trivia night, so I didn't call.
Good.
So there's a hell of a lot going on here. And as far as my sister is going,
yes.
You know that machine that they advertise for seniors who have urinary problems at night?
Fortunately, no, but I take your word for it.
Oh. It sucks. I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. All right. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, twice it's filled up with blood.
Oh, that's not good.
Right. And so they had to give her two more transfusions.
Oh, none of this is
and,
good.
Right. So then they decided to tell her that she needs to go see a gynecologist. Well, she's in a hospital.
Right, exactly. It's not like she can get out of bed and go. Why don't they bring one to her?
Right. So then they said she had to go to a clinic. And then they decided that they think it's coming from her uterus.
All right.
You know, she's 70 years old, you know. And so they said she needs a DNC.
Okay.
What, you know.
Yeah, I know.
And so then I talked to my brother today, and they said that they actually, you know, in other words, they want her to leave the hospital.
Yeah.
And go to this clinic and then go to rehab.
Yeah.
Well, today they were examining her and stuff, and what's really... They took her blood pressure when she's laying down.
Right.
They took her blood pressure when she's sitting up.
Right.
And then they took her blood pressure when she's standing up.
Right, exactly.
And it drastically drops.
Okay.
So, and then they told her to go for a walk, and she said, I can't.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that's going on.
All right.
And, you know, and it's like...
The blood pressure thing is actually pretty common. It's orthostatic hypotension, and it happens when you stand or sit or whatever, and when you go from lying down to standing, and it can cause dizziness and lightheading and even fainting. But it's not in and of itself dangerous. But she's obviously got a lot going on, and the hospital clearly, from what you're saying, wants her out of there pronto. It's hard for me to understand that, but the bottom line, I guess, is she's going to have to get to a gynecologist. And when you're talking about DNCs and all that, that's investigatory in this case. They want to find out what's going on.
Right, and it is frustrating to my brother because he can't get any answers.
Well, right.
You know.
Right, exactly.
Demanding all this stuff.
Well,
and I told him about the advocate situation that you told me.
Yes.
He says she has a social worker at the hospital.
That's fine.
And he's talked to her on the phone, but he's tried to go see her, and he can't go see her.
Because she won't make an appointment. She won't make an in-person appointment.
Right. So he's frustrated on that.
Well.
And it's gotten to the point she's been in there for 2 months.
Yeah.
And out of the hospital.
It's a horrible situation all the way around. But but here is the deal. As you know, Jim, from a distance and all that, there's nothing you can do about this. And you are facing your own challenges that are pretty dire. So I would say, yeah, my heart goes out to her, but you need to concentrate on you.
We'll get to that in a minute. It's with my sister-in-law. She's, going through the same situation. She stands up and she almost passes out.
Yeah, it's common. It's absolutely common.
And with the situation with her legs. So that's what's going on.
Right.
And here, I'm sitting here trying to be supportive.
Well, that's nice, but at this point in time, you really don't have the wherewithal to do anything like that. You really need to concentrate on yourself. And for anybody who doesn't know who Jim is and he calls regularly, Jim is facing blindness, period. And he's pretty far advanced down that road. And the bottom line is that the best you can do at this point is take care of yourself, period. And we've talked before about while you still have some vision, it's critical that you learn to use the tools that are going to become life-sustaining for you. And so as much as it sounds cold to say, don't worry about them, the bottom line is it should not be your focus. You need to worry about you.
And insofar as me, they scheduled surgery on my eye again, and that's in August 12th.
Okay.
And because of that tube that's sticking out and stuff.
Right, and that has to be done, but as you know, that's not going to restore vision.
The vision is already gone in that eye, if you ask my opinion. But I don't want to lose the eye.
Of course not. And that's good that you're doing the surgery. But what I want to hear reports on what you're doing to make yourself more independent.
We'll get to that in a second.
I'm going to run out of time. I'm about to run out of the half hour, so that's why I'm trying to get the cliff notes.
Right. But it gets down to the point where my vision is not getting better.
Correct.
And tonight, my friend who drives me everywhere, it's going to be her 75th birthday on the 13th. So tonight she took me to pick up my insulin in Janesville, and we went to Cracker Barrel.
And that's very nice.
We're sitting in the table. I could not even see her face.
Right.
And I've been able to do that in the past.
Right.
I couldn't even see her face today.
Well, that's expected. And, you know that, unfortunately. You know the trajectory of this, and I'll stay on you. The only thing I can say is the only thing that matters now is you finding a way to be independent by learning to use the aids that are available to you. But there's a learning curve on it, and you have to be willing to do that. So that's what I want to hear about. So next time, give me a report on that.
I have an app to read my mail. And I have that app, and it reads my mail and stuff like that. I'm working on that. But it was totally embarrassing me tonight that she had to cut up my meat because I didn't even know what the meat was or the broccoli was and stuff like that. So it's getting very frustrating for me.
And you know it's going in that direction, and you know that time is not your ally on this. So every day when you're thinking about doing something for someone else, turn it around and think about doing something that will make you more independent because you need to do this.
Right. And I'm working on that.
Well, work harder. That's all I'm going to say. You know, time is of the essence because people will not, they've been driving you around for some time. People are not going to do that forever. You're going to need to be self-sufficient, and you can do it. Just put your mind to it.
Mm, I didn't think this is the way it was going to go tonight.
Well, I don't know what to say. You know, I mean, hearing about your family ad nauseum, and that's fine, but that's a lot of minutes when really, when you call, the real story is you, and that's what I want you to concentrate on. So keep me posted, and thank you. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. And brevity, that is a big help. All right, we'll get back to it. And your requests, yeah, like I say, I'm catching up on that. And it was, I believe it was Chuck in Downers Grove who wanted to hear Rochelle and the Candles, and he will next on WGN Radio. James, Rochelle and the Candles, and it's Rochelle without an E at the end of it, and it's a guy, and in fact, they put on a number of things, but that's about the only thing that really hit. It's from Los Angeles, Rochelle Henderson, and T.C. Henderson was the bass player, singer on that, and so that's the one most people remember on Swingin', and it was Chuck in Downers Grove who wanted to hear that. He also wanted to hear something by the Channels, which will come up next. We'll also talk to Stephanie and Madison, and there's room for you, too, right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
I know I love you.
I'm Raleigh James, Earl Lewis and the Channels, and that was the other one that Chuck in Downers Grove wanted to hear, My Love Will Never Die. It was a B-side, 1959 on Fury. It probably was more popular later when it was a reissue on Lost Night and things like that, but it was a fine record by the Channels, who are a wonderful group as far as I'm concerned. During the news, I decided I'd look up Rochelle Henderson, see what happened to him. He's still alive, I'm very pleased to say. He's living in Adelanto. which is in Victor Valley area. It's San Bernardino County in Los Angeles area, kind of north northeast of L.A. And he's still with us, and he has a Facebook page and all of that. So love it. Love that he's still around. He was a one-hit wonder if there ever was one, not for lack of trying, because they certainly put out some material, but really that was the only thing that hit. And why it did hit was Hunter Hancock, who was big disc jockey on KGFJ at the time, owned a little label, Swingin'. I mentioned this was on Swingin'. And Hunter played it on his show to see the reaction, and people absolutely loved it. And so he thought, well, I'll put it out. And it slipped into the Billboard Hot 100 in February of 1961, got all the way to number 26, which is not bad at all. Rochelle was not the lead singer on this. In fact, that was Johnny Wyatt, the feminine-sounding lead. And, of course, Rochelle was not a girl. That was Rochelle Henderson, very, very much male. And that was it for him. But he's still around. He has a recording studio, Hender Sound, in Adelanto. So, all right, good to hear. So, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Stephanie's in Madison. What's up tonight, Stephanie?
Hey, Raleigh. I just wanted to call in and first off tell you a great story related to your... you played one of my... Well, I had made two requests, and I missed the second one, or, like, you know, if you played it. But the first one, it was at the very end of the show. I'm listening to your show. I had just made the request, like, pretty recently. And I was kind of, you know, mellowing out, and it was almost 1 o'clock. And the last song that you played was Clifford Curry, She Shot a Hole in My... And I just about flew out of the bed. I mean, I love that song. Absolutely love that song. It's so great. So I was, like, practically dancing, you know, yeah, on top of the mattress. And I mean, honest to God, it was so good. Now, I don't know if you played Loveitis. If I miss it, hey, so be it, you know.
I forgot your request, so let me write it down because I will play it. Yeah, unfortunately, I'm bad at this. I write them down, and then if I'm lucky, I have the pieces of paper. And when I have the pieces of paper, 50% of the time, I don't have who requested it. So So I'll write this down. I'd be happy to play Loveitis. I had it on the computer to play, and then I ran out of time. And then obviously I didn't. So Loveitis, which looks like Love It Is when you see it.
Yep. Harvey Scales in the Seven Sounds.
Yes, absolutely.
Many years ago, back at DJ's, it's one of the clubs in Madison that they played in. And those guys and, oh, God, Baby Huey and the Babysitters.
Right.
And, oh, wow. Yeah. But I just wanted to say your advice to Jim, and my heart really goes out to him because he's dealing with it in a faster clip than I first got hit with the reality that I wasn't going to have the same vision. Yeah. I was, you know, the term high partial. That wasn't going to last into my old age or whatever.
Right.
And there were some misdiagnoses, but it was devastating. And I had other issues to deal with. But the more he's got to make himself number one priority, because it takes a while. You have to learn coping, ways of coping. And when you say independent, what you're really, you have to build resources. It takes a while. You have to, learn about yourself in different ways. You don't want to be a drag on anybody. I'm not saying, people want to help.
Right. You can't do it indefinitely because you'll burn them out, period. And I understand, Jim, but for one thing, he doesn't understand on the radio, you can't spend 20 minutes talking about your family. You know, he could have in 2 minutes summed up what he was saying. We don't need every detail because the time is just of the essence there. Now,
The other thing
I know, when he says, I didn't think this is the way the call's going to go, it's really the only advice I can give him at this point, because it's just not happening. And I don't know if it's denial. And let's face it, when you get these kind of diagnoses, there is a lot of denial. And it's hard. It's very hard. But he's living in a fairly isolated place, and that's something he needs to absolutely address.
He needs to get out of that isolated and get somewhere.
I know.
Like, where there are more independently available resources. When you're in an isolated place, you're relying on other people.
Exactly.
And it's way too much. And, if you know, he seems to me like a really kind, really just good person, you know. I mean, I don't know him, but my heart just really goes out to him.
Oh, I know.
And he's dealing with a lot. And it's just, I mean, that is just pure hell, you know. It is. There are times, I mean, if I go to some place that I'm way not in this place now, but when this first happened, way before this happened, I used to say to people, if I actually lose my sight, I'm going to kill myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, I am a survivor of suicide. A family relative, very close relative, committed suicide. She was really scared and really suffering.
Yeah.
And, you know, our family, the pain it causes is just, and I've dealt with depression, and I've dealt with it, and I'm doing really well, but I'm telling you, our daughter, my husband adopted her, and they have a great relationship with this happened when she was 10, and it just tore her to pieces, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, I can't do this. I cannot do that. I have to live. I don't have the right to take my life, and I'm not going to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. God, please help me. And it was, you know, it was hard. And things just happened over a long period of time, but things would change, and I'd get these different conditions, and it's just like,
right.
Oh, man. So, but I sobered up. I stopped drinking. I got way closer to God. Went through changes. And you just, you know, sometimes, I mean, I know he's concerned about his family, but that can also be a distraction.
Well, that's right. You know? That occurs to me, too. And they're not right there. And there's a lot of rifts in that family as well. And that's why he really is alone. And I understand that,
yep.
Obviously, it was not a comfortable divorce. And the result was the kids want nothing to do with him. I mean, that's the bottom line to that. And, so what it comes down to, like the country song, he needs an attitude adjustment because he's got to do it. And I don't yet hear that fire in him where he says, come hell or high water, all that matters is this. And it really needs to be that level of a priority. Not, well, I can't think about it now because my sister's this or my sister-in-law's that or my brother's this. No, none of that matters. All that matters is independence. And what I'm concerned about is the vision since he's been calling has deteriorated substantially. And, he's not going to wake up one morning. Yeah, not going to wake up one morning and read the newspaper. So it behooves him to take advantage of this time. And again, also to realize you can't get on the radio and give you every details of your family's life. It doesn't work like that.
Exactly. And it's not fair to you or other people.
Right. It's not fair to listeners who absolutely do complain.
Yeah. Yep. I hear that kind of like he's wanting to, and I'm not saying this to be mean, but kind of like, you know, sometimes you kind of like hyper-focus and you just focus in and you don't realize there's a whole world out there and you kind of forget about everybody else. And I'm not saying that to be mean or malicious.
No.
I'm not. You know, but the more he can, and some days sleep better than others. Some days you just give yourself a break one day or whatever. But plug, there are so many good resources out there. Like I know I've mentioned the council, the Wisconsin Council. They are so fabulous.
Right.
They have really improved over the years. And one of the people I highly recommend, this guy is just, he's also one of the sweetest people. He's extremely talented. He's he worked at Perkins, the Perkins School for the Blind, at one time. He went to the Janesville School, and he's just so, he's the assistive technology guy, and he is such a wonderful, wonderful instructor. He's not intimidating. Sometimes you'll get blind people who, and this, I want to slap someone with it. Well, you know, I'm blind and you should be able to do this, or
right.
They kind of put themselves over everybody else and a little bit and kind of just, I just want to go, I just want to smack them.
Oh, yeah. If I can do it, you can do it. Don't give me any ideas. I know. I know.
Yeah, exactly. We're not a monolith. We're all individuals, right. You know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, again, I'm sending you a hug. But
yeah.
You've got to put yourself numero uno. They say, put your mask on. If you're on a plane, put your oxygen mask on first before you try to help anybody else.
Exactly.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. I believe me. I'm there. And of course, as you know, it runs the gamut. You have people who, like you talk about, like the people who are saying to you, well, I can do it, so you can do it. Conversely, you have the people who say, well, you're blind. Of course you can't do anything. You know.
So. Oh, I hate. Yeah, if anything, there are people. And in some ways, I grew up with a really odd situation for many, many, many years. I mean, I was born with cataracts. I was born blind. I had lots of operations. I got my sight restored where I could see like 20, 30, 20, 40.
That's good.
And then, it was great. But, I mean, I dealt with all kinds of different phases, and there were people like, well, you're blind. You can't do this. And, and now, I mean, the white cane was one of the best things I ever did. That, you know, but because people will say, oh, you're going to fall, you're going to fall.
Yeah.
Well, why do you think I have the white cane?
Exactly.
You use that so you don't fall. If you use it properly, it's incredible. But like for me, I'm almost too independent in some ways. I love people and I get energized by them. So I have to find the balance and not make myself a shut-in. You know,
absolutely.
But but I've been wanting to call you, I loved Clifford. I love that song. Another one I'd love to hear. I know you'll love this request too. G by the Crows.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I contend that is the first rock and roll record by definition in terms of how it got airplay and where it did. And love the Crows. But yeah, She Shot a Hole in My Soul. Harlan Howard wrote that. And
are you kidding? Harlan Howard? Oh my God!
Yeah,
the great country writer.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So he wrote that. Yeah, walked into a club, jumped up and grabbed the microphone, asked the man leading the band to let me sing a song. My heart says, "Without a love, you're dying, baby, baby, baby. Can't you hear me crying?" Yeah, I know. I've heard it.
She shot a hole in my soul. Oh,
yeah.
I love that song.
Yeah,
I hear you. You know, and you can only do so much, and you can't have people. Totally, you know, picking all your, I mean, I think of different people like, and I think about them observant, like, then I think about people like Stacy is almost like a hero in some ways. I mean, what she, her husband suddenly dying, you know, and dealing with all that stuff and just, you know, being very vulnerable, but she got herself into a good living situation. And Fran, oh God, I wanted to throw stuff at the radio. Fran, you keep fighting, pushing on. Fran and Gary, they're awesome. But people also were, and I've heard people mention this a lot, and I don't play this card or anything, but if you're blind, they treat you like you're stupid sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. No, I mean, like I've said many times, I can't tell you how many times I've been out to dinner with friends. Well, what will he be having? Oh, I don't know. Ask him.
Oh, yeah. Well, why don't you ask him?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
drives me crazy. Or, you know, I first ran into blind kid friends in radio because invariably that's where you'd meet them. And I still have records with the Braille, you know, on them from the little label. Label makers. And I can't tell you, though, how many times a new general manager would come in. Well, he can't do this. Well, what do you mean he can't do it? He's been doing it for a year. Well, no, he can't read the meters. Well, sure he can. Not the way you do, but sure. Oh, no. I for his own safety, we have to let him go.
Oh, God.
You know.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, but.
They'll try to come up with that. They can't think of something.
Yeah.
I mean, it is so stupid.
Yes.
It is.
Yes. Yeah. No, and whatever you do, you don't take someone sighted with you when you go to the doctor. Because if you do, they're only going to talk to them.
Oh, that, you know, I've gotten to know there's different resources where you can get connect with other people who are blind or low vision or whatever. They're using more like they're saying blind and low vision versus like visually impaired because that's almost a garbage term.
Right.
But but I'll tell you, you know, you just, one woman had said that her when her mom would go to the doctors, the doctor would only talk to the mother, totally ignore
right.
her. I mean, that, what the hell?
I know. It's ignorance of a level that makes absolutely no sense to me.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Yeah, and there are times it's like, I try now just because it can take a lot out of me. But there are times I have this habit. People think, oh, she's so sweet. I'm not, I have an inner bitch. Like,
yeah.
I do. I don't want to be cruel to people, but I've got a mouth and I will, some people, I will just absolutely put them in their place. It's like, how dare you?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
But Fran, I'm listening and I'm going, I'm just so great that you're there and being supportive, you know. I thought, she doesn't need to be dealing with that crap.
I know.
We need respect.
Oh,
yeah.
I agree.
So,
you will hear Love-itis next.
Yay! All right.
Good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right.
So, yeah, Milwaukee's godfather of soul, don't you know? Songwriter for Johnny Taylor, the OJs, the Dramatics, the Dells, and I could go on and on. Yeah, sadly, I know some of that because it was in his obit. So, yes, we're saying that it's now been about, 6 years. All right, so we'll get to Eduardo in Tampa and James on the south side and hopefully you. But right now I want to talk about the Sea Crane Company. That's right, something nice to talk about. And not talk about radios right now, but vector systems. Because let's face it, it's a way of life. We all have some form of a wireless access point, a wireless router, whatever. And a lot of them are fairly anemic. And you find that out if you got a large house or maybe you got a workshop or a guest house or a backyard office. I mean, you're really only a few hundred feet from the house and no Wi-Fi. A little bit frustrating. Well, most people give up or pay for a second internet service. Don't do that. And there is a better way. And that is Sea Crane's CC Vector Extended Long Range Wi-Fi System. You can beam a reliable Wi-Fi signal up to half a mile from your router. Well, as long as you have line of sight. So, you know, it's not going to turn around the block. But if you're going from point A to point B and it's line of sight, this will work with all Wi-Fi devices and it'll give you basic internet for web browsing and making video calls or watching standard video or streaming audio. You know, you name it. Setup is really simple. And the beauty of this is if you need help, the Sea Crane Company is there all the time. And that's ccradio.com or call them 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. They'll walk you through any problem you might have. So if you've been frustrated because that connection is dropping or you're, you know, three rooms away from the wireless router and, you know, your speed just went to nothing, well, there is an answer. And it's the CC Vector. And the best part about it is it's easy to set up. So ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Or better yet, give them a call. They'll walk you through it. They'll answer all your questions. And if you can't go online, they'll send you a catalog in the mail. No, I realize if you can't go online, you probably don't have Wi-Fi, but there may be somebody in your life who does, who might be complaining about it right now. So check out the CC Vector, ccradio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Sucker, sucker, sucker. fever gets higher day by day. Yes, it does, y'all. This feeling I've got is like a disease, yeah. It's really got me down.
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. That's for Stephanie and Madison. Harvey Scales and the Seven Sounds, Love Itis. And that actually came out in 1967 on a couple of labels, but most notably Magic Touch. All right, so 888, it was a flip side, by the way. Get Down was the A side. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Eduardo, and we'll get to Stacy and to James, but wanted to go over this. Yes, so I looked it up, and they convicted her, the mushroom murderess. But what's interesting is that, of course, Australia's just nonstop talk about this. And the question is, of course, why did she do it? And you know, nobody knows that for sure. She faces life in jail, and sentencing is going to come later as far as that goes. But and of course, you know, she's denies. But while the prosecutors failed to offer a motive, it's interesting that there were no shortage of speculators. But due to strict Australian law, they couldn't put it in print. So journalists and stuff weren't allowed to second guess the trial while it was going on. And one of the experts had said, I don't know what makes her an expert, but something. Says, sometimes the reason is obvious enough to others, at other times it's internal motivations. At one point, they had her reading aloud scathing messages she sent, which highlighted the past friction with her in-laws and tension with her estranged husband, who'd been invited to the lunch but didn't go. Best movie ever made. And of course the prosecutor saying, you got two faces here. And I guess the jury felt so too. Like I say, no reason given, but I guess you can surmise. But I think what cooked her, so to speak, more than anything else, was that she denied having things like the cooker and like where she got the mushrooms and the dehydrator and all that, and you know, they could prove that those were in fact lies. So there was a question about that for sure. But she continues to say it was a terrible accident, and Australia will continue to talk about this. In fact, I'm sure you will be seeing it on Court TV or whatever they call that now. I think it changed names three times since Sunday, but nonetheless, there's a drama series, a documentary, and books all planned, and most of them are going to be written and going to be produced specifically in an attempt to answer the question of what motivated her. And, you know, till her dying day, which could come at any time, it's just speculation. No one will ever know for sure. Yeah. All right. So, the thing we are convinced is deranged. Absolutely. All right. Eduardo in Tampa, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. A couple of things here. First, I got to say, remodeled my bathroom, so now we don't have to like lift our legs up over the bath.
Oh, good. So now, you remodeled your bathroom, did you have it remodeled or did you do this?
Well, I had somebody come over.
Oh, okay. All right. That's what I was wondering. Yeah. Here, did you put in your own shower?
Yeah,
what's going
so they
on?
Took out,
okay.
Yeah, so they took out the bottom part, and then it's flat, so you just walk in and you can take a shower. So,
yeah.
So it was so much better. For somebody like my mother,
yeah,
you don't have to lift the leg up, and you just go right in and
yep,
shower away.
And so, hopefully some nice grab bars, yeah, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, there's a couple, yeah.
Got to have those, yeah, grab bars. I'll tell you, they'll save you. All
right. Yeah.
Well, good.
But yeah, it's doing my good, yeah.
Excellent.
Oh, so this week, and I'm going to get to the TSA, you know, shoes things in a moment here, but this is the week where they do the Pamplona Bull Run.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I brought this up, but
it's already,
yeah,
already carnage.
It didn't take long, yeah.
Yeah, someone was gored and seven others were injured lightly, and this was the second day today. My problem is I'm always rooting for the bull.
You know, the way it was supposed to be done is where you would be at a balcony and you kind of like jump onto the street and just like jog along one bull, something like that. Not this like maniac,
yeah,
over commercialized sport.
Right.
So that was the original plan. But now these people took it, and obviously, after so many years, they found a way to make some money, which is obviously the ultimate decision making.
Oh yeah.
And you just bring everybody from the world and have them run. Yeah.
I forgot where I read it, but there was it wasn't a documentary, but obviously some type of book where a guy who was a bullfighter actually stopped being a bullfighter because at one point he looked in the bull's eyes and realized that this animal just wanted to live. So he put down a sword and said, "That's it. I'm not doing this anymore." And I think you kind of have to taught the bulls to an extent to make them fighting bulls, if you will. And it's absolutely terrible all the way around. And I guess it speaks to the human condition, how we would find this something that we wanted to watch. And as I say, I'm always rooting for the bulls.
Yeah. Well, okay, so moving on. So TSA is finally moving on, obviously because of modern technology with the machines, of no more taking off your shoes while you're waiting in line. So,
yeah. And I would expect that the podiatrists of America might complain they'll get less business. So it's hard to say. But, a careful review of security protocols, don't you know? And so I guess they were having you take off your shoes since 2006 following the infamous shoe bomb attempt. So I don't know. I gave up flying in 1999. I have absolutely no desire to ever try it again.
Yeah. Yeah. You could do the John Madden where he does the train instead of the flying.
Yeah, I'll drive if I can, and other than that, you know, if I have to take a boat, well, I guess I will. All right.
Yeah. Well, I had heard that they were getting rid of, before this, the sandwich bags where you put in the stuff, like liquids, and you put them like in a sandwich bag. I thought they were tossing that.
I have no idea. I know they're always revamping that. And, of course, manufacturers love it because, you know, 3 ounces, we'll make 3 ounce bottles, you know, and all of that, you know, so it's all crazed, but that's the deal.
Yeah. Well, with technology, you know, rules you had before, that just kind of allows more freedom because you have the machines that can kind of like capture more stuff than before. So.
Yeah. Like all of you. Yeah. as far as that goes. Now, of course, they're saying they'll no longer require all passengers to take their shoes off. So there will be some instances where they do, actually, when they, God knows what they'll suspect. But they're just stopping it as standard protocol for everybody.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's the deal. Does anybody care? See, I'm not in those lines. I don't know. How much did people dislike it? Now, of course, we're proving that people are willing to go through an awful lot if you scare the hell out of them, because it's amazing to me that anybody's put up with any of this stuff. But people do, and quite willingly. So you've traveled quite a bit. You've gone all sorts of places through many airports. Did you ever hear anybody complaining bitterly about taking off their shoes in line?
No, not really.
Yeah, exactly.
I never saw an instance like that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, whatever the rules were, yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't hear of anybody going berserk over it either, so I would think much about nothing, and we'll see what else they do.
Yeah. I don't know if you got to me last Thursday, but thank you for the Julie London, because you were one who requested Julie London.
Yes, it was you. Okay, good. Yes,
yeah,
Cry Me a River.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
I was thinking,
yeah, I heard
somebody requested this. Well, I'm glad you heard it.
Yep. I heard it, yeah. Before I don't know what happened to me last Thursday. I don't know if you got to me or not, but I heard it last week you mentioned.
Well, good. Yes. Excellent. Well, I'm glad I played it then.
Hopefully everything will work out over there in Texas, and get the alarm system, and that guy that saved 150. Wow, that is something with that helicopter pilot. He saved like 150.
Yeah,
those are great stories to hear.
There'll be plenty of time later to dissect what could have been done better. But it's driving me crazy when I hear people like that doctor who actually tried to make it political, claiming that that Trump supporters got what they wanted in this. And I'm like, why would you even?
That didn't waste any time.
Yeah, that's right.
Who also mentioned something.
Yeah,
who made also a bad comment. But although I will say, I was telling people, even my mother, there was a tropical Barry, I think that's what it was called, in Mexico.
There were a lot of things. Now, this is absolutely flash flood alley. And the last time it was really serious was 1987, and I remember that so well. But, they did give warnings, but the reality, and it's a real sore point with me as a broadcaster, is the EAS system in general needs a serious overhaul, and it's not getting it in the right direction. But as far as NWS, here's the problem. How many people have a weather radio by their bed, and how many people have it active in the middle of the night? So that's part of the problem. And then you might say, well, how about sirens? Well, I'll tell you what, if you start blaring sirens when people are asleep and it's not really an emergency, all hell is going to break loose. So there's no easy answer. But in this case, the warnings did go off. They just, in many cases, weren't heard. So we'll see.
Yeah, I saw reported with looked like a weather radio, a red colored one in his hand. He was saying, if everybody had one of those, they would have been...
And, all the stuff I talk about on the Sea Crane Company, almost all of them, I say NOAA weather and NOAA weather alert, so they're there.
Right.
But, you've got to have it set up that you'll hear it, which a lot of people don't, because they take it for granted that nothing like that's going to happen to them. There'll be plenty of time for that. Right now, our only concern is there's still... quite a few people who are absolutely missing, including...
Let's get everybody possible.
That's all that matters. Absolutely. Anything else, there's other time for that. Now it's focus on this. And, my heart goes out to them. Now, radio did rise to the occasion. I know things like WAI in San Antonio, they went wall-to-wall, round-the-clock coverage of this. And that's probably the closest big city to it, unless you want to count Austin, and I don't.
I thought it was Austin.
Well, Austin or San Antonio, you got to look at how that works.
Okay.
And I try not to count Austin. One thing that, just as an aside, that I had to laugh at, if you are from Austin or Central Texas and all that, pronunciations there are different. Just like it's Amarillo and not Amarillo and all that, and just like it's San Jacinto and not San Jacinto. Well, it's Guadalupe, not Guadalupe. And Guadalupe Street, Guadalupe River. Well, of course, nobody's saying that because they know they're national. So at least they know that they're wrong. They're saying it every day of their lives, but they're wrong. It should be Guadalupe, but it is Guadalupe.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
I was just shocked when I heard one of the houses that was moving had a cat inside it. I don't know if they ever got the cat. But...
yeah. Well, cats have 9 lives. So so it's got more chances to survive. Yeah, and I don't mean to make light of the house pets for sure, but I can't imagine, because that area, that's the hill country, and the hill country is beautiful, and that's the area that Willie Nelson sings about and all that, Looking Back Texas and all that near there.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. Okay.
Oh yeah, that's right there. That's hill country. And there are a ton of camps, and Mystic, which was hit the hardest, that's all girls. And it's been around about, I don't know, maybe 100 years. I mean, it's around a long time.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah.
Yeah. And so and it gets kids from all over the state. And so this is just a heartbreak that 10 campers and a counselor are still missing. And you just pray that we're going to hear about the miraculous stories. Now, it drove me crazy that there was one story that supposedly they found 2 campers in a tree and everybody was talking about that, and it turned out it was a hoax. And, this is no time for hoaxes. Forget about that. Let's find out what's really going on here. And hopefully we will.
Yeah, I'll just leave you on this suggestion. I don't know if they can ever invent something like this, but... So sometimes people like doing zip lining. So I don't know how good that would hold, but maybe that could even be like a backup if anybody gets to a tree, because then they could just zip line their way back to some kind of safety road or something like that. But that's kind of like daydreaming. That's like a dream over there.
The last I heard on Ken's, which is the San Antonio TV station, Channel 5, it was down to 5 campers and 1 counselor. So the list is getting shorter, because 7 hours ago on the Weather Channel, they said 161 people were still missing. So I don't know. But the death toll has surpassed over 100, as you'd expect.
Yeah.
And just a horrible situation all the way around.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good deal. Thanks for calling.
Robbie.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. Okay,
all right.
Thank you.
So, yeah, this is no time for grandstanding or politics. This is the time for grieving, commiserating, and more to the point, finding the other individuals who remain missing. So, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. Jimmy Beaumont and the Skyliners. It's giving a short shrift. We'll have to play more of that. Mike in Cleveland wanted to hear it. I mentioned it was the flip side of Since I Fell for You, and someone wrote and said, no, it's the Skyliners. Don't you mean Since I Don't Have You? No, I mean Since I Fell for You. It came out in 1963 on ATCO. Well, we'll play that side too, but I promised to play I Die longer for Mike in Cleveland, but he got a taste of it anyway. And we'll get to Since I Fell for You, which they did a wonderful treatment of, coming up on WGN Radio.
Well, you. I fell for you. Well, it's too bad, and it's too sad that I'm in love with you. First you love me. Snub me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, and that is the Skyliners. Good old Jimmy Beaumont on lead, of course. And Since I Fell for You. So they did do it in 1963. And the flip side was I Die, and that was Mike's request. He also wanted to hear Nat King Cole. That's All There Is to That. Yeah, that's an Ethel Barrymore line, actually. And the Pointer Sisters, Should I Do It? And he will, coming up. And yeah, one by one, I'm getting through all your requests. It just takes a while. All right, Stacy in Algonquin, welcome to WGN Radio. Stacy, we lost Stacy?
Oh, no, I'm here.
Okay, how are you?
Oh, hi, Raleigh. How are you doing?
All right.
Oh, now I forgot. Are you and John okay? You're feeling okay?
Well, I won't go that far, but we're here. here's the deal. I have your list. You still want James Brown, the Delphonics, Lou Christie, Alan Jackson, and Johnny Cash. I believe we took care of Brian Wilson, but Brian and Seneca also wanted to hear When I Grow Up to Be a Man, so I'm pretty sure I played that, but if not, I'll play it again.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, sure. So I haven't forgotten. I wrote them down. I even wrote your name next to it.
Oh, great, great.
So you're doing well?
Yeah, you know, I have my good days and bad days. But I went for my mammogram, and everything was great.
Good, good. You know, as we get a little older, it becomes quite the discussion of whether we should do them anymore. And you can read about this, and I'm not saying don't do them, but I am saying there is a body of evidence that there are over positives. In other words, things show up that never would affect you before in your lifetime, and then you wind up treating them that you don't have to. And so some doctors are weighing that when you get long a tooth like us, well, you're not really there yet, but you're getting there, that it's not necessarily continue to be a good thing. So you may want to look at that. Now, again, I'm not weighing in, but I was just reading a big body of evidence on that.
I'm just trying to do like one doctor appointment at a time.
Well,
I have to do the dentist and the eye. I'm trying, Raleigh. I try not to, you know me, I try to do five things at once. No, you can't do that.
Probably don't want to do that. Yes, yes. Today was my eyes, so I spent the afternoon doing that. So I know what that's like.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, that all makes you nervous. How has your weather been?
It was 117 today.
Well, we're less than... I think I went on the hottest day, though, to go for my mammogram. Oh, was it boiling hot.
But, you know, the thing is, since we know it's going to be 117, or, you know, last week or the week before was 122, you know...
Oh, my gosh.
But, you see, you don't... It's really not bad because you're prepared for it. You know, you have the world's best air conditioning everywhere. I've mentioned this before, you know, because if you wind up... Like, when we were living in North Idaho near the Canadian border, they always say, oh, you don't need air conditioning. The hell you don't need air conditioning. There's 3 weeks a year where it's hot as blazes, you know? And... Right. And so, but they have the best heat, God knows, because it's freezing in winter. Well, of course, in a place like this, I don't know if people even have heat, but boy, they got the best air conditioning.
So far, you know, at Eastgate, you know, the air is great and everything.
Good,
and
good.
I keep my windows closed because I always, you know, I have a beautiful tree and the bushes and stuff, and I've got a good view.
Yeah.
But I have all these little yucky bugs and all that.
Yeah.
My window on the outside.
Hey, I know. I'm with you. I always say reverse cycle. If it's too cold for air conditioned, it's cold enough for heat. If it's too warm for heat, it's warm enough for air conditioning. That's what reverse cycle is. Just flip that switch.
They do an energy saver, which is good. It goes on, then shuts off, goes on, shuts off.
No, I want it to
and
be...
And it gets cold, though.
Yeah, I want it to be 68 degrees. So I don't want no energy saver. 68, that's the temperature. Thank you very much.
I think we do, and it really freezes, but that's good.
No, it's very comfortable. I know I'll get those notes from the power company about that. But, of course, you know, our big power bills are the radio stations, which are running thousands of watts. And so, you know, you get these bills that are like, you know, $2,500 or whatever.
Oh,
and they say, you could save on your utilities. No, actually, I can't. We're licensed to a certain power, and you've got to pump that out. It's just that simple.
God.
You know, or they say, you know, try different times of the day. No. Oh, the FCC doesn't let you change your power for different times of the day. But, you know, it's their automated stuff for, you know, energy consistency. But what they do here that I absolutely hate, and it's somewhat of a political thing, because of God knows what, in the summer months from about May through October, they double the price of energy. So if I have a bill that's $1,800 in the winter, it's going to be over $3,000 in the summer, and it's the same bill.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's just, you know, because they want to change your habits. But they don't understand. In some cases, like licensed radio stations, you can't change your habits.
Yeah.
But they don't care. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's always something. So, yeah.
But I'm glad you still have my list.
Oh, I absolutely have your list. And you're lucky it's typed on the computer. A lot of these are just handwritten. Like, I found Mike in Cleveland and Chuck in Downers Grove early today. I thought, oh, that's where that went. So that's why I'm playing them.
Oh no. Thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to check. And your 4th of July was good?
Yeah, well, you know, working. working. One of the things we do on one of our efforts, we choreograph the fireworks so that people can see the Freeport-McMoRan. They're a big mining company that does the big fireworks display, and we put the music to it. So you know, kind of hold your breath, because a couple of years it didn't go off as planned. You know, one year a tree hit a pole and the power was out. You know, stuff like that. But this year it seemed to go without a hitch, and people said they loved it. So good, I'm thrilled. Okay.
One thing about Eastgate, we always have a lot of parties.
Okay, yes, and that is a wonderful thing. You are so fortunate to be there where you are surrounded by people.
I know, and I still, you know, I'm off balance. You know, I have a doctor's appointment anyway, so I'm kind of, you know, I stand and I'm going back and forth, but yeah. I'm going to ask the doctor about that too. So when I kind of dance when I'm sitting, or when one of my friends, you know, she'll make sure if I get dizzy, she's holding on to me.
Yeah, well, and you can just enjoy the music and the refreshments and the conversation.
I love my dancing. No, I can't help it.
All right. Well, there you go.
But I think I told you everything. No, Eastgate, they're really good about the parties and the entertainment.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun.
I think it's wonderful. And that's why every time we talk with Jim, I always say you need to get in a different living situation. So hopefully he will.
Right. And I always, you know, I always send all of Stacy's special, special blessings to you and John and everybody and everybody.
Well, you too. Still,
you know, I send all my blessings out to everybody.
Oh, that's great. Well, just keep doing well. That's all I want. I'm thrilled that you are.
Thank you, Raleigh.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Everybody, take care.
Okay,
I'll
good.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye. So, 888-876-5593. And that will take us to Isaac on the South Side. What's happening, Isaac?
That was fast, Raleigh. Yeah. How's it going today?
I can't complain. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Let's see. Since last we spoke, I went to see Jeff Goldblum perform at the Chicago Theater.
Yeah.
Was that last week, I think? Last weekend or something like that?
All right.
That was a good performance. I took my cousin, he's all into records. He's 21, and he's all into buying records and jazz.
Yeah.
And he had never heard of Jeff Goldblum, and he said that he thought he was kind of corny. And I was like, well, he does crack a lot of jokes. You know, he's not doing anything groundbreaking.
But how could he not have heard of him? He never saw Jurassic Park? You know?
He said, yes, that's what I brought up to him. He said that he did recognize his face, but he didn't know that he did music or anything like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But he sat there through the whole, you know, performance, and we talked about it afterwards, and he said that he would like to go to more jazz concerts and stuff like that. So I thought that was cool. I'm going to a comedy show this weekend for a guy that is on SNL. But the reason that I'm calling today is because I was doing some watching some... a Frida Payne interview on, I think it might have been on the Midnight Hour or something like that, that came on at midnight or something, and they said she's so beautiful. This was in the comment section. She's so beautiful. She's such a great, you know, all this talent. How is it that she did not become a huge superstar? And someone else commented that said she recorded a song that ruined her career, that private radio DJs would not play the song.
What song?
And the song was Bring the Boys Back Home
That. I don't consider that to be that controversial by any means, and I wouldn't.
Even during the time?
Yes, even during the time. I just wouldn't buy it. Of course, she had the big hit Band of Gold, which was Holland, Dozier, Holland. But she was very big in the UK, Northern Soul, huge. And in fact, over there, they produced a record for her, Memories and Souvenirs, that she did, that I think is one of the best records ever.
Right. That's the one we talked about.
Yeah. So I played that for you. So you know that. And she was married to Gregory Abbott briefly and Edmund Silvers briefly.
And she's still around.
Yes. You know, she's 82. I think she's about 82.
Okay. I think so often that people think that, you know, even little kids, I want to grow up to be a singer, and you think you're going to be the next Madonna or something. Yeah. But to be a working singer, to be a person that has sustained for this long using your voice to pay the bills, that's a huge accomplishment. That's a blessing in itself.
Yeah. And in 1965, that's the first time she toured Europe with Don Gardner and all that and did very well. And had been going back ever since. And she understudied Leslie Uggams on Broadway. And, you know, she was in some Broadway plays and Equity Theater and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, then when Holland Dozier Holland likes you enough to write a record for you, that's pretty damn good. And
Wow, they wrote that for her.
Yeah. And it was Holland Dozier Holland and Ronald Dunbar all wrote that. Okay. And it got to number three and number one in the UK for 6 weeks. So that was a big thing. After that, Bring the Boys Home, that got to number 12 nationally in 1971. So anybody who says nobody was playing that is out of their mind. You don't get to number 12 if you're not getting airplay. It was a gold record for her.
He said that private radio owners or private radio would not play the record.
Well, I disagree with that. I was in radio at the time. I was not working at a radio station that played that because it was a country station. But I certainly heard it on the radio. The top 40 stations did play it, no doubt about that. So if there was a problem with that, and there could have been, but I never heard about it. It wasn't anything that made the made the news. You hear about them occasionally, like when Lou Christie did Rhapsody in the Rain. You know, a lot of people got upset because he supposedly was talking about making it in a car. So they had to write a little different version, you know, rather than in the car, Love Went Much Too Far. They said Love Came Like a Stalling Car, Falling Star.
Oh.
But, you know, not a big deal. Half the stations played the original, half didn't.
That was going to be my question. Was that a thing during that time?
Well, it's a thing any time. You know, I mean, every now and then a record's gonna be perceived in some way. Not often, but you know, there will be. Like I remember when I was young, 1955, there was a record by Donald Woods, Death of an Angel, and the word was that it was being banned because girls were committing suicide. Well, I don't know if they were or not. Actually, I thought it was a bad record, but you know that was a big talk about then, and that kind of that ushered in the death record era. You know, there were so many of those, the Tell Laura I Love Her and all that. I mean, there's tons of them, but the first one for people, most people don't remember it, but it was Death of an Angel, Donald Woods. A terrible, terrible record. Anyway, you're always going to hear about that. Or, you know, the FBI investigated Louie Louie. I'll always laugh about that. Louie Louie was written by a guy in L.A. who actually ripped it off from, it's terrible to admit, but did, ripped it off from Rene Touzet, because the song is actually really El Loco Cha-Cha. So anyway, he took the riff and wrote Louie Louie, and of course it was a flop. And then in Seattle, the Kingsmen picked it up, and they were bad. They were just bad. I don't care how to say it. And you couldn't understand the words. And so the next thing you know, everybody said, you know, oh, it's got a lot of four-letter words. And so this became the big thing about what was in Louie Louie. Richard Berry, who wrote it, said, "Yeah, there were four-letter words. There was boat, and there was ship, and you know." There's a radio station in Charleston, South Carolina, that they got their biggest response to any promotion ever when they said, "Send a postcard, and we'll send you all the four-letter words in Louie Louie." They got, Charleston, South Carolina, literally like 100,000 postcards. And of course, you know, there are a lot of four-letter words, and none of them are dirty, of course. The FBI investigated this for years and finally concluded that it was unintelligible. So you're always seeing that.
I read a book. I told you about this book some time ago, but the FBI investigated a guy because his neighbor called in and said that she saw him walking around naked in his house. So, you know, the FBI doesn't have the best track record in terms of
Well, sure, opinion. Sure. Oh, absolutely. So, of course.
Also, July 12th. Is that a weekend?
Yeah, you want me to play the Charlie Rich record? Let me look.
I do, yes. And I want you to explain.
Yeah, it's a Saturday. Oh, God, it's a Saturday.
Hey, I'm glad I called in, yes.
Yeah, well, right. I guess I got to play it on Thursday then, right? July the 10th.
Okay, that works for me.
All right. Yeah, we'll do it. All right, good to talk to you. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Ever watch the one you love slowly drifting away from you, and you know deep in your heart there is nothing that you can do to make her stay,
to make her stay,
to turn the tide,
to turn the tide.
To ease the pain,
to ease the pain
that you feel down inside when her eyes say it's over and done, then you simply must face the fact. So you leave and think it over, but you come hurrying back, hoping she'll change her mind, praying she'll take you back. But like the lady said, that's all there is to that.
When her eyes say it's over and done, then you simply must face.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Nat King Cole, that's all there is to that. 1956 on, obviously, Capitol. In the background is the Four Knights. That got to number 15 nationally on R&B chart, 16 on the pop chart. So on 56, that was kind of a crossover hit, to say the least. But that's all there is to that is a reference to Ethel Barrymore. And Ethel Barrymore did not like curtain calls. And she wanted to rebuff them. And so that's all there is to that. There isn't any more. Was something she was known for saying. And so there you have, that's all there is to that. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. That, by the way, was Mike in Cleveland, and I have one more of Mike's requests, the Pointer Sisters, which will come up next. All right, so we'll start with Cindy, and then we'll break for the news. But Cindy, so give us the headlines.
Okay, well, I don't know if I told you about my dishwasher and what a big fiasco it was from Home Depot.
Yes, I believe we heard. I believe we heard the dishwasher story. But hang on, because we'll hear it again and get all the salient details. I just can't wait. All right, so that's Cindy. We'll also get to James on the South Side, who's got some requests. I've got his down too. And yeah, I'm feverishly working to play them all. And I haven't yet forgotten about the snakes on the airplane. Yeah, and so that's. I think that was a movie, but no, that's a story actually. All ended well for the snake and the passengers. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Yeah.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's the Pointer Sisters. So, yeah, that was the other one that Mike in Cleveland wanted to hear. Should I do it? And that was 1981 on Planet. All right, so we're talking to Cindy in Chicago with all the details of the dishwasher. So go for it, Cindy.
Well, I'm not going to go into the details because I'm going to get sick. No. But I learned a real hard lesson about, you know, it's the lesson, you know, I learned, you know, for whatever reason, I thought I was going to solve that, problem of getting that dishwasher installed because Home Depot wouldn't install it.
Why not?
Because the connection didn't fit.
Oh, well, that's a reason. That's a reason. So you would need somebody to a plumber to change the connection.
Okay, but the thing is, I had the extra connection that could be cut to fit.
Okay.
Because we tried to just we had an extra one because we tried to just put a new hose in it. My cousin did that, and their rule was they couldn't use another connection other than the one that came with it to, like, connect it.
Right. Okay, but you can easily get someone else to connect it for you.
Yeah, but then Home Depot only wanted $150 to connect it, and my plumber wanted $600 to install.
You need a new plumber. You need a new plumber.
What?
You need a new plumber.
Yeah, well, anyhow, it was such a, you know, finally I thought to my, you know, and then they wouldn't take the old one away for us to install and have the plumber, and they wouldn't take it away unless they put one in. They couldn't leave it empty.
All right.
And so Mike and I were going to, you know, it wasn't it's all plastic, but then anyhow, take the dishwasher down, and then I'd have to call the garbage company to see if they would take it, and, you know, and I knocked on the association president's door to get the number, and I said, why is everything, you know, and so I guess most women would just do what I finally did, just cancel the whole thing and go with a different company.
Right.
But I wasn't, I was a career woman, and I didn't run, I didn't run a household until I was until I was full time.
All right. So let's get to the bottom line. What happened?
Well, the bottom line is I learned my lesson. If something is that screwy, just cancel the whole thing and don't be bothered with it, and go with a different company.
So is that what you did?
So I'm obsessed with
it. Is that what you did?
If it's something with working in accounting where you
all right, is that what you did?
Problem?
No, you're going to keep talking. I can tell. Is that what you did?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, very good. All right. So you have a dishwasher. So all is good. No reason to revisit this again. Stop overthinking. Yes. Yeah, stop overthinking. All right. Well, the real lesson is forget about it. It's over now.
Yeah. I don't know. I just went, well, the thing about it is I would never, if something's difficult, someone else said that too, if something's difficult, they just get rid of it. That's, you know, that's what I learned too. I mean, nothing has to be, but then anyhow, the other thing is yesterday, I went to my alma mater and had lunch in the cafeteria.
Uh-huh.
And I guess everyone, you know, all my college professors are just either retired or the one passed away last December. And there's no one there. But I just, you know, talked to a couple students, told them I'm a former student. And for their lunch for, like, the summer, they just have salad and grilled chicken, and then they have like a basketball camp for like pre-adolescents. So they just serve pizza, hot dogs, French fries, and I don't eat that. So,
well, very good.
I eat it, but I wasn't interested in it. I just had a salad and did my day trading while I brought my tablet and I walked. 3,000 steps is pretty good for me.
Well, excellent.
Yeah, but then anyhow, so yesterday I made $16 day trading, and today I made $45.
Okay.
So that's not too bad. I mean, that's almost $200 a week if you think about it.
As long as you're not spending that many hours doing it, it's great.
Well, yeah, I have nothing to do. I from 8:30 in the morning till 3 in the, unless I have an early day where it goes up, you know, I buy a low and it goes up by 2, like 1 o'clock.
So. Uh-huh.
But I need that money, you know.
All right.
So last week I made $90 for the week. I mean, that's some serious cash, $90.
All right.
For doing, you know, just, but anyhow, I don't know. I'm just at total peace. I'm not worried about, I don't worry about politics or anything anymore.
All right.
I'm sick of it.
Well, very good.
And I don't think there's the only appliance left that could break my house is the HVAC.
Oh, God.
And what I bought was a window air conditioner that works with crank out windows. It's called a split.
Okay.
So I bought that as a backup because on the internet it says it costs $20,000 to have that replaced.
Hmm.
I don't know if that could, my cousin Mike doesn't believe it.
Well, it depends what it is, I guess, and the duct work and all that. You know, I mean, if the duct work's in good shape, well, it might be all right, but I don't know.
Well, they sold me this condo, and the HVAC unit is 37 years old now.
Well, you knew that when you bought it.
Yeah, but the buyer's agent didn't pay attention at all. To get me a credit.
Well, and that's unfortunate. But hey, you can't go back over any of this stuff. You just move forward.
No.
And if you need a new air conditioner, you'll get a new air conditioner, and that'll be it.
Well, no, I'm, you know, because the two people in my building,
I'm going to run screaming. It's going to happen, you know. I'm probably going to spontaneously combust if this goes on much longer. All right. So.
I know, but theirs were only 3 years old.
All right. Well, very good. You can't go.
We're just going to have window air conditioner.
Well, that's up to you.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to upset you.
All these details. Yeah, that's up to you entirely. You know, everybody has their own pecking order of what's important to them. And if you're comfortable with window air conditioners because you like the price of it, then that's terrific. You know, if it were me, no, I'd have a central air conditioner system that could freeze the Hilton because that's like my number one thing. But, you know, and when I re-air conditioned one of my houses, it was like a 1,000-square-foot house. I said, here's what I want. I want an air conditioner that can easily cool 50,000 square feet. You got it? And
How much did it cost?
I don't know. Whatever it cost. But the bottom line was that I wanted to make sure that it would always be the temperature I wanted without any problem. Because that's important to me.
Oh.
But then other things aren't important to me. So if you're comfortable with window air conditioners and you like the price, then that's great. Don't rethink it.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Good deal.
Well,
thanks.
There's nothing going on. I don't even know. I mean, I didn't really have anything to talk about.
Well, yeah,
nice going to my alma mater, though.
All right. Well, it sounds like all's well. Don't think too hard. All right.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye. Thanks. Okay, bye. All right. So, that's the dishwasher cycle, I guess. But she's got one now, so, hey, it's fine. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. All right, we're going to get to Naoto in Japan and James on the South Side and you coming up on WGN Radio.
About the good thing. About the bad thing. About the right thing. About the wrong thing. The lady before you leave me, be locked and I'm the one who love you. Think about the sacrifices that I'm about the hard times that I've spent with you. Think about the good things that I've done for you. Think about the bad things I tried not to do. Come on, sugar, and think, yeah, about the good things.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, Stacy said play some James Brown, and well, I have. Yes, a remake, obviously, of Loman Pauling and the Five Roy Owls. Think, and actually, James Brown did that twice in 1960 and again in 1973. So there you have it. And I think when he did it in 73, it was originally, he had been appearing on Soul Train, and what they did was they overdubbed a new vocal to the same track and all that. Extolling the virtues of the show and all that. But that's 1960, James Brown and the Famous Flames and Think. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And that takes us to Naoto in Japan. What's happening tonight, Naoto? Are you
Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
No, I can hear.
Okay, well, that's good. I could hear all along. Yes, so there you are, and here I am. But, you know, Japan's far away, so I understand that. So what's up?
I'm doing pretty well, and just not much to talk about, actually, but I thought it's maybe nice to make some comments on, like, things. My first thing is I tried to... type my personality type again.
Yeah.
And it was ENTP, interestingly.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to like be typed as INTP.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. So what else?
Yeah, and I think that last week Shay was asking you about, like, what is the meaning of arigato, like the phrase I said last week.
And?
So it's basically like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you is...
that's what I thought.
Like, equivalent for arigato, so...
Yeah, it's interesting. The only reason I even heard the word was the, I'm trying to think of who the group was now that appeared in Japan, and they said it at the end of their show, and I thought, hey, a new word, and Manhattan Transfer, that's who it was. Manhattan Transfer were appearing there.
Sorry, I can't hear you, like, I can't, like, understand what you said due to, like, a bad connection.
Uh-huh.
So I can partially hear you, but
well,
so I maybe call you later, but
absolutely,
yeah, that's basically what I
wanted
to say.
Try tomorrow night. You just never know. I mean, it's when you think about it, it's amazing that you can hear me here. So you're so far away. I'll look forward to it. Thanks, appreciate it. All right, and on top of that, cell phones, of course, are not full duplex. So being half duplex, what that means is when you're speaking, the other person can't speak at the same time. You won't hear them. And when they're speaking, you can't speak at the same time. They won't hear you. And it's a way to really conserve bandwidth. But the bottom line to this is that some of the connections aren't great. And sometimes, you know, calling right back helps, but other times not. But still, when you think of how far we come, I mean, here's Naoto in Japan calling the show, you know, like it was around the block. And you think that it's only about less than 50 years or so, around 50 years, that you marveled at the fact that you would even be able to get live film from news on location. So I'm not sure what the first year was, but I'm pretty sure it might have been like late 60s, early 70s. It's not as far back as you think. So, man, have we made strides, big-time strides. All right, so 888-876-5593. Kevin in Colorado Springs, what's happening tonight, Kevin?
It has been a while since I've talked to you.
Yes, it has. Now, so divorce final?
Divorce is final.
Good.
I'm now living in an assisted living center here in Colorado.
Really?
Springs.
Really?
Yeah, that is probably the major change.
What happened? What's going on?
In a long, short story, my sister I mean, I was living with her, and then they thought that, you know, it might be better if I lived in an assisted living center.
Oh, brother.
So, yeah, I know.
Oh, brother.
I have lost all of my CD collection.
No! Why?
Yes. They took them all. They said I didn't have room for them, so they took them all to Goodwill.
No!
Yes.
There's a special hell for people like this.
I've lost my entire radio collection.
No.
The same way. Yes.
What does your family hate you?
You'd think they did.
Let me ask you about this, because assisted living can mean so many different things. In fact, hang on, we got the news. I got a lot of questions because I want to hear about this. But, man, a pox on their houses. This is awful. We'll pick it up on WGN Radio.
When I grow up to be.
That's the Beach Boys, and that was a dual request. Stacy wanted to hear something that Brian Wilson, and he, of course, he wrote it and produced it, and that was the Beach Boys. And we also had, who was it? Brian and Seneca wanted to hear it as well. So now they both heard some Beach Boys, and Linda in Richland Park will get the last bumper of the night, which is the Nutty Squirrels on Hanover doing Uh-Oh, Part 2. All right, but before we get there, we're in the middle of Kevin from Colorado Springs, and this is an absolutely horrible story. I am surprised. I know I shouldn't be, human nature being what it is, but how anybody could say to you, well, you won't have room for your CD collection, you won't have room for your radio stuff. I mean, this is horrible. Now, assisted living means a lot of things. So is this your own apartment?
Basically, it's my own room.
It's your own room.
So you
get a room.
With a refrigerator and a microwave.
Yeah.
It's one of those refrigerators that you college kids had.
Oh, like a half-size thing?
Yeah.
I've lived with those. Of course, I didn't have anything to refrigerate, but even so, yeah. It'll keep some Coca-Cola's cold. That's about it. And for God's sakes, forget about the ice. All right. But do they have an ice machine? Can you at least get ice?
Don't know, but it does have a freezer, but...
Not much to put in the freezer. Yeah, not much of a freezer.
There's not a lot of space in that.
Right. Minimal, to say the least. This is horrifying to me.
Raleigh, I have been devastated.
You should be.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you know, I mean, you and I have never met face-to-face. I don't know you that well, but I can tell how important your CD collection and all your radio stuff is to you. This is like heart and soul of what Kevin is about. And to just say, we'll take it to Goodwill, that's one where you hope they're getting slain on the way.
Well, they said you can choose two radios.
No!
And then, Yes.
This is, what do you mean, since when did they become your lord and master? You didn't give, wait a minute, you did not give them power of attorney, did you?
I gave, well, my sister, younger sister, mm-hmm. has power of attorney.
Uh-huh. Well.
I guess I lost on that one.
Yes, you did. Yeah, you never do that, but too late now. This is horrifying. Horrifying. Now, by the way, even if it's one room, assisted living is not cheap. Who's paying for this?
I'm paying for it. My whole entire Social Security retirement check goes to pay the rent here.
And then what is your disposable income?
Nothing.
Nothing. And they think this is fine. You know, our story went at the beginning of the show about the woman who fed her in-laws the poison mushrooms. It's starting to make more sense.
Well, I don't, I mean.
I'm so sorry.
I sort of had nowhere else to go.
I know.
I couldn't live, and it's just.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Needless to say, I'm very depressed over this.
Of course you are. Firstly, it's your own room. How much room did the CDs take up? A wall? So why not have a wall of CDs?
Oh, I have tons of CDs.
Well,
a lot,
yeah, but
a
you can't have more than 10,000.
No, not quite.
Right, exactly. Well, I can get 10,000 in a room. I'm very creative that way.
Oh, I could too.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, that's what I mean. You know, believe me. If it came...
I just, you know, I told him, I said, look, you know, these are my CDs. I do not I want to keep them.
Right.
You don't have room for them. I'm like...
No. No. Now, by the way, who picked out this palatial estate? Did you at least have a say in that?
Yes, I did. I wanted to have the deluxe room, but it had a $600 upcharge, which I couldn't afford.
Right.
So I found another smaller room, which was still private, at a $300 upcharge, which I guess I can afford it because I'm living here.
Right.
People are nice. And the food is good.
Good.
And I guess that's a plus.
Oh, that is a plus. Yeah, because it's industrial food ranges. If they have a really good contract, then you can get high end stuff.
Yeah, they do.
Good.
But I can never get back what I had.
No.
Because I don't remember everything that I had. Does that make sense?
Oh, of course it does. Now the good thing is you've still got a computer, right?
Well, yeah. And they said, well, you got it all on your computer. I said, no, I don't.
Right. You don't. But that said, you're going to hopefully create files and start to amass more on that computer because it's all you got.
Yeah, exactly.
And the nice thing about it is, depending on how you do it, that that there are some really high-quality YouTube files. I never rip them. I actually record them. I audio record them separately. And there's some decent quality. And what I really like is you can get the original 45 versions of almost anything.
Yeah.
Which is actually better than CDs. So it takes time to do, but sounds like you're going to have some time on your hands here. So.
Well, I hope I live long enough to build my library back.
Yeah. Well, you'll do it from the standpoint of what you remember when you think about it. Gosh, I really like that. You'll add that. And, you know, one at a time.
Yeah, there's some stuff that's out of print.
Of course, but I wouldn't be surprised that you'll find it online.
I'm sure I will. I'm sure I will. Well, it is nice to find it online, but it's not quite like having the hard copy.
Well, I agree with that. I like 45s because I like to look at the label art. So you know.
Well, yeah.
That's a big one for me. I want to hold the damn record, but you know. So which explains the floor to ceiling boxes in one room. But in any event, you know. you're gonna have to make lemonade out of lemons here. And at least at this point in time, you can get, even though it won't be the physical media, you can get the audio, because, you know, turn back the clock 25 years and you couldn't.
I know. I mean, that's the one good thing about it.
Yes.
So, you know, I was virtually all my Beatle collection is gone, but Valerie did bring back my, you know, the box CDs that she could find, but she didn't find the Capitol albums Volume 1 and 2. But remember when the first Volume 2 came out that they made a mistake in the fold-downs?
Yes.
For mono? I got that.
Right.
I didn't get the corrected version.
Which is kind of nice, actually. But again, you know, we got to look at it like we're not, at least I wouldn't be crying over what you don't have. I'd be looking forward to rebuilding up what you can get.
Oh, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I got friends, you know, just to see what I could, I'll see if we can help you find it.
Right.
You know?
Right, and you will.
So.
That'll almost become something to do, you know, as you as you scale the internet for it. You'll be surprised what you find.
That's the bright side of this.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's the only bright side. I mean, this is unconscionable. I don't know how people can do this to other people. It's unforgivable on every level, and it is what it is. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's, I mean, people who like music, it's just awful. And then, of course, my career in radio, I got a lot of stuff.
Of course you
don't have it anymore.
No. And that's heartbreaking, because that you won't get back.
Oh, it is. It is. Well, Raleigh, you take care, and
come
out of this. I'll be okay.
Well, I want you to keep in touch more often. I want to know how you're doing. And definitely call if the family passes away suddenly. But I'll see if I can't do a spell.
Okay. Thank you,
right.
Raleigh.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right. So, yeah. I've got the divination of magic, from the 1600s or whatever it was. I did find that book. All right. So, 888-876-5593. Nutty Squirrels coming up next on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Sasha Berland and Don Elliott. And they were the Nutty Squirrels on Hanover in 1960. Uh-oh, part two. Or actually, I think it was 58. No, I think about it. But in any event, that was... they put out two albums, The Nutty Squirrels and Birdwatching. And so and they did other things as well. They're both jazz musicians. And Don Elliott did a lot of advertising jingles and stuff like that as well. And of course, Ross Bagdasarian, as David Seville, did The Chipmunks. And in fact, as soon as Ross did The Chipmunks, there was a TV show in the works. But The Nutty Squirrels, who were somewhat imitative, actually were on television television first in an animated series, The Nutty Squirrels Present, and that was 1960, but didn't go anywhere, and of course the Chipmunks did well, but yeah, so that was Uh-Oh, and part one got to about number 45, but Uh-Oh, part two, which we just played, got to number 14, and that is The Nutty Squirrels, what you can do with tape on a capstan. All right, so Linda in Richton Park, welcome to WGN Radio. There you go.
Yep. Hi, how are you, Riley? I didn't realize it was this late.
Yeah.
I had nodded off, you know, but I was when I woke up, I was thinking it was Fran talking about day trading, so I was going to ask you about that, but maybe I can call tomorrow night.
I hope
and
so.
You can, you can explain it to me tomorrow night because you don't really have the time, but I want to thank you for playing Another Squirrels, and I wanted to ask you a song I wanted to request was, I haven't heard it in a long time. It's by Jose Feliciano, Come On Baby, Light My Fire.
Okay, I'll do it. You betcha.
All right, I'm going to hang up and let someone else talk.
Thanks for calling, appreciate it. All right, so waiting quite a while and certainly gets the last lines for the last several minutes if he wants them. James on the South Side, what's up tonight, James?
How are you?
Well, I'm here. How are you?
I have to listen to at the beginning a little bit of what happened with Jim and then what happened to the poor chap, right? I'm thinking, what is this? Was this one of those blood in, blood out kind of night?
Yeah, sort of sad all the way around, yeah.
Okay, somebody was trying to get me to basically say, you've been doing business problems, why don't you take, and they said, we'll take most of your check and give you $50.
What?
Yeah, that's one, and a friend of mine said, oh, don't take that. You still can do a whole lot.
Of course, that's crazy.
Yeah, so I said, nah, I'm not going to do that.
No.
So anyway, let me say, I actually got a couple of songs. Actually, one I'm thinking for Jim, basically. The Impossible Dream. I'm almost thinking about that
Oh God!
Or you could do Sinatra's "I Did My Way."
Okay,
meaning that you basically fight to the very end.
All right,
basically.
My way. I'll play My Way. All right.
Yeah.
Now we still have "Let's Fall in Love" by Frank Sinatra that I haven't played for you yet. And Luther Vandross and Johnny Mathis and Marvin Gaye and 300 Pounds of Heavenly Twist and Patsy Cline and a couple Patsy Clines, Jim Reeves. Oh, four Patsy Clines. You took him off my hands. And I played the wedding song, that deal.
That was good.
Yeah.
I keep thinking about if they think this is such a great, I kind of challenge them to visit a nursing home regularly.
Oh, God, no. I do that quite a bit. Yeah, that's warehousing.
Basically, that's why I kind of think about Farron Young's Hello Wall.
Yeah, oh, man.
Yeah, so I put that on my list.
Oh, yes. Hello, Walls. Hello. Yes, all right. You betcha.
Yeah, Jim, I was going to say, when I was real young, going off to college, I had the interesting thing, this is like, was about 5 eye surgeries ago.
Yeah.
Okay, and just after, not too long after 5 other eye surgeries.
Oh, man.
But anyway, I had a guy on one side of me in a dorm who was completely blind, but he was getting ready to graduate with a degree in physics.
Sure.
About two doors down from me was a blind journalist major who was about to graduate.
Now, the one thing I will say is that it's much easier if you lose your sight when you're young or at birth than when you're already in your senior years. It's
it is.
It's a hard adjustment.
It's because you you basically, that's all you've had, and it's like you lose familiarity.
Right, it's the way you view the world. If you never could see, it's very, like a friend of mine who is blind from birth said, well, to me, it's the same thing as if you asked me if my elbow could see. I don't know any different. And I get that. You just don't have that relationship to it. But, you know, no matter what the situation, it does come down, sadly, to attitude. And I can tell that Jim really isn't there yet. He needs to be at the point where I don't care what it is, I'm going to do this, be damned. You know, no excuses, nothing else. This is all I care about. This is what I live, eat, breathe for. And until he gets that way, it's not going to work. And I'm very afraid that he'll lose his vision entirely and be...
Before he gets to that.
Yeah, because...
And he doesn't really... And here's the thing, the ones who might be potential advocates for him have their own battles that they're fighting.
And then he's
worried about them.
And he
which
can't.
Basically is, unfortunately, this is what I guess in military terms would be called... Okay, your lines are stretched too thin.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also a great distraction. You know, when you say, "Well, I can't because I got to worry about this," that takes you away from you know the core of what you should be doing. And there's nothing he can do for his family members. So what he needs to do is for himself. You know, now of course I wish him the best, and he'll do whatever he wants to do. But that's where I stand on it.
Yeah. Also, I came across one story you might want to look into. It's about, apparently they came across a study, which was from these researchers who were at this this guy led by a guy by Dr. T. Peter Stein of Rowan Virtual School of Osteopathic Medicine. Anyway, these researchers found out they found that that people who had had attention deficit disorder, as well as those who Alzheimer's spectrum, had a face of higher vulnerability to BPA, to the effects of BPA.
That's
and apparently, of course, BPA, what that is, biphenyl A, basically, what happens is, and most of us who deal with most of us who aren't dealing with that, what happens is the liver basically attaches a sugar molecule in a process called glucuronization. I'm shortening up.
The study's not that new. There's been a lot of studies. It's all about neurodevelopment disorders. So bisphenol A is what you're talking about. To get to the bottom of the autism spectrum or ADD, ADHD, you look at all things. And so the study focused on whether BPA and DEHP were in fact culprits in this. And it's interesting. The hypothesis was, of course, that detoxification is compromised in kids who have ASD or ADHD. And I wouldn't be surprised. I think there's what we don't know so eclipses what we do know as far as this goes. And I think there's all sorts of chemical exposure that wreak havoc with us in more ways than we could ever count.
Yeah,
but you've ended the show. I just realized the show is over. I'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Okay,
thanks.
You have a good evening.
Appreciate it.
Okay, yeah. You, John, have a great
you
one.
Too. Yeah, I got stories about all that. But right now, I got to say thanks to Adam for keeping us on the air, and thanks to John for screening your calls. But above all, thanks to you for calling. We'll be at the other studio tomorrow night, 21 hours from now, and I look forward to hearing from you. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.